What a party. What a party. I like parties where people are happy. And where you enjoy yourself. You don't want to top this off. Of course, normally the presents are at the end of the party, you know. I believe God has got some gifts piled up, ready to give you. As we're coming close to the close of the service this morning, God wants to give you a gift. I mean, what's a party without gifts? You need gifts. And God's got gifts to give to you. We often think about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's number one. But he's got other gifts to give to you as well. Read about them in the scriptures. What he's prepared for the New Testament church. When God makes promises, he keeps them. It may take a while for them to arrive, but he wants to make sure everything is in the right place. He wants to make sure that our heart is in the right place. Our life is in the right place. He loves to give gifts. I've watched children to open up gifts at Christmas time. I've seen it happen at birthdays where they just rip the paper off and look at what's inside and toss it aside and look for the next gift. That's fun, and that's, I like to rip paper off of gifts too. But it's coming to that point where you appreciate what the gift is. And I think oftentimes we do not appreciate, although we should, the gifts that God gives us. I know that the church key scriptures is Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38, and 39. But in that 39th verse, for the promise is unto you and to your children. It's for generations. When God promises something, he doesn't stop at a certain time. There's no cutoff date for it. It's for you, it's your children, it's all those, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God calls us to the party. He calls us to the body of Christ. I like what Acts 19. Acts 19 is one of my favorite chapters outside of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. I like chapter 19. And the reason is because Paul and Apollos was passing through the upper coast of Ephesus. And the scripture tells us that they found certain disciples. In other words, they were believers. Just like a lot of people are in this world today, they're believers, but never experienced in whom they believe. You can hear about God doing the miraculous healing a child's heart who had a hole in it, giving a brand new heart. Is that real? That's very real. The doctors prove it. The doctors said it. Those who had depression, who felt like life wasn't worth living, but yet God intervenes and gives hope. Is that real? Yes, it is real. There's nothing that the world afflicts you with that God cannot heal or solve or make a way for. Why is that, Pastor? Because he promised that you can cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for your soul. He doesn't want one soul lost in eternity. He wants every soul saved that is willing to say, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I." But Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, gives that reassurance that God always keeps his promise. Let me read it to you. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto then, what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with other tongues and prophesied. The promise did not stop in Acts 19. It did not stop in the last chapter of the book of Acts. Look around you this morning. Here is proof that God keeps his promise. You're sitting beside people that have received Christ. They knew about him, but never experienced him in the power and the might of the Spirit of God. You're here this morning because of promise. You're filled with his Spirit because of promise. If you're thirsty, he'll give you to drink. If you're hungry, your soul is hungry for something different in your life, he will feed you the bread of life. If you need the power of God to live above problems and difficulties, he will give you the ability, the power, the strength through his Spirit. All things is by his word and by his Spirit. I like the story in the Old Testament. One of my favorite Old Testament stories about the spies. God given them promise. Exodus chapter 6, verse 4. He said, "I've established a covenant to give them a land of Canaan and a land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers." God made a promise. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, "And I am come down to deliver thee out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." You know the story of the spies. There were those in that group that went over to Canaan to see what it looked like. You may have come to church this morning to see what a Pentecostal service is like, to spy out the land. Is it true? I mentioned Wednesday night in the Bible study in years gone by, there was people who would say, "Let's go down to the Pentecostal church and see the show." Pentecostals can put on a pretty good show sometimes. They get excited. They get loud. Even when I preach sometimes, I'll notice I'm shouting. Had to back it off a little bit. I love to worship God. I love to praise and magnify his name. How many heard the radio broadcast this morning? Would you raise your hand? How many heard the radio broadcast this morning? How many know that there is a radio broadcast? I see your hand. I asked the ministry team, some of them came in early this morning. I said, one of them mentioned the fact of the radio broadcast, and I sound so vibrant, so different. He told his wife, he said, "Brother Cox sounds different this morning. It's vibrance." I said, "Brother, I'm going to tell you a little secret here. Don't tell anybody. What you heard this morning was a message I preached 15 years ago. Brother Buddy reached in the archives and took down the radio station a message about Pentecost Sunday that I preached 15 years ago. No wonder I felt vibrant then. No wonder I had the power and the unction then." I think David said, "Once I was young and now I'm old." Well, I'm not old. You don't get old until you get 100. maybe 150, somewhere in that area. But in a group of people, there are some that come to spy the land, perhaps, to see what God is really like. What are the Pentecostals really like? In that group of spies, there were those who believed they could conquer the land that God had said and promised I'll give to you. There were those who didn't believe it can happen. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't believe it can happen in your life. Healing for your body, healing for your family. I'm here to tell you, yes, it can happen because God promised it. Isaiah says, by His stripes we're healed. God can heal you physically, emotionally, spiritually. All the evidence was there. The word was true. There was a land flowing with milk and honey. It didn't mean the negative wasn't true. The spies did not exaggerate the bad things that was there. There's bad things in life. There's bad things in everything. But when God moves on your life and out of chaos creates calmness and hope, there's never a darkness in your life. As dark as a night may be, the presence of the anointing of God gives you hope and light within inside your spirit, inside your life. How many have found that to be true in your life? Yes, you have. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know all around are incidents of life that could cause us to believe that God has forgotten us. But I look at the evidence. I look at the evidence. For example, Psalms 37:25. I have seen young and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, not seen seed begging bread. I've not seen God do anything negative in people's lives. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but they all should come to repentance. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent, that He said, and shall He not do it, or hath He spoken, and shall not be making it good. I'll tell you, God has always made it good. His word has always been made good to us. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We like to quote the latter part of that verse, they'll never leave you or forsake you. But it tells us we need to have a life without covetousness, a life that is pleasing to Him. When He finds somebody who honestly and sincerely seeks after Him, He will never leave you nor forsake you. I was born in a family that followed after what they call the Methodist Church. Raised in Adventist Sunday School, but I'll tell you, from a very small young age, I'd find myself longing for God. As a small boy, I would go to the altar, not knowing exactly what to do there, but I would go there. When they'd have a revival, I would be right in the midst of it. As a teenager, I would go to revival service at the Methodist Church, always looking for something that was better than what I had or the way I was living. Life will twist and turn. The further you get away from God, the colder your soul becomes. But God has never forgotten you. Never does God forget His creation. In a place of war, a place of chaos, begin to call out to God. You see, God saw you when you was in your mother's womb. David of old said that very basic same thing, that God sees you while you're in your mother's womb. And as we come out of the womb and we grow through life, we have choices to make and decisions to make. And most of the time, left to our flesh, we'll make the wrong decision, the wrong choices. But when you call out to God, when you ask Him, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I've done this, I've tried that, nothing works, nothing makes you happy. There's nothing that really calms my spirit. When you begin to talk to him and ask him for help, let me tell you what, he has never left your side. He's never left your presence. He knows what to do for you because he promised that when you begin to change your heart, when you begin to change your way, when you begin to think about changing your life, he's there to help you make the change complete. The evidence is in the Word of God. All the evidence you'll ever need to know whether God is true or not is in his Word. Right. Evidence. Evidence. You can know the evidence of the promise. The evidence is the fulfillment of the promise that he'd give you the baptism of his Spirit in your life. Amen. It will do that. He found certain believers, Paul did, and you might be a believer here this morning. What would make this birthday party absolutely complete? Well, but somebody would receive a gift. Now, on the way out this morning, they've already prepared, they're going to give you a piece of a cake. It's in a plastic little shell. And you can leave here this morning and have part of a cupcake, or you have a whole cupcake. But you can have something better than cake. When you leave this building this morning, God saw you when you woke up. He heard your very mind when you said, I'm going to the house of the Lord today. He's never left you nor forsake you. And he wants to give you a gift before you leave. Now, when you receive a gift, you have to actually hold out your hand to get it. Amen. If I'm going to give you a gift, you don't hold your hand out, guess what? You're not going to get the gift. You say, I got a gift for you, Brother Cox. Well, thank you very much. I want to rip the paper off of it. I want to look at what you spent your money on or got for me to have. Someone says, how do I receive this gift of the Holy Ghost? You have to surrender your heart and life to him. I like what Brother Terry Hughes had to say, out of your most inner being shall flow rivers of living waters. Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost. Thus spake he of the Spirit of God. You raise your hands, begin to talk to him. What's the big deal about speaking in tongues? Well, let me tell you what. James in the Bible tells us that the tongue is the most dangerous thing. It's like a rudder of a ship. It guides your life. When you speak words, you speak either negative or positive words. You either say, and you got to have your tongue to do this. A person who's had the tongue removed from their head, they can't say anything. But with the tongue, the words are formed against your lips, and you speak. In your mouth, in your tongue, you have the words of life and death. Death is, I don't believe it. Nothing can happen good to me. Or you speak those negative words. Brother Justin shared something with me. I don't want to take a message away that he may be preaching sometime here. He said a study was done at the hospital. I don't know what hospital. University. They did an MRI scan of the brain on people who were speaking in tongues. They wanted to see what happened to the brain when people did this. As they were doing the brain scan, there's one lobe of your brain that controls speech. Without that lobe functioning, you cannot speak words, you cannot talk. Here is the amazing thing, that as a person was worshiping God and began to speak with a heavenly language, this lobe collapsed and went silent. When it talks about speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, meant that what was coming from them was coming from other than themselves. It was as a, come on church, it was as the Spirit was flowing and didn't need your ability to speak, didn't need your ability to magnify the praise of the Lord. It was the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Word of God is true, it's yea, it is amen. The greatest gift that any human being can have is to receive the Spirit of God into their lives. You become, Paul said to the church, know you not that you are the temple of the living God? Living inside of you. Now, when you begin to praise Him, your hands are raised. See, raising your hands is a type of surrendering to God. And you begin with your own mind and your own heart, begin to thank Him for His mercy and His goodness. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against You. Forgive me my sins and my trespasses and a life that has not been pleasing to You. And as you're praising Him, repenting, He doesn't need your brain anymore. The Spirit of God flows in and flows out like a river. Using your tongue. Reason why is that a tongue? Because the tongue is the last member of your body to surrender. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is inside of you and you're speaking in other tongues, it is the Spirit that's given the utterance. He's got full control of your body, of your soul, of your spirit. Completely surrender to God. The Holy Ghost is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, all wrapped up into the Spirit of God. Stand with me this morning, would you please? God can renew your spirit. If you've moved away from God, if you've moved a little distance from the Lord and you haven't felt Him moving into your spirit for a while or for a long time, God wants to renew that gift in you. If you've never received the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit, He wants you to receive it. Here's what we're going to do. We're closing. Cake is waiting. The party is almost concluded. It's gift time. It's gift time. Would you bow your heads throughout the whole congregation, from the back wall to the front? Heads bowed. I'm asking everybody in here, would you ask God to forgive you? Let's do a little bit of repenting this morning. Ask God to search your heart. Father, I ask You to search my heart. Forgive me my sins against You. Search my heart, my life. Take out anything that You don't want into my life and put into me what You would have me to receive. Forgive me my ways and my sins and my trespasses. Repentance is good. Peter said, repent. Or would you lift your hands up? Would you lift your hands up? Come on, come on. throughout this whole congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. Let God fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Receive you the gift of the Spirit of God. He wants to give you a gift on this day. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's magnify the Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord begin to move and begin to flow. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church. Come on. Some believe not, but I believe as you believe that God is real. And God wants to heal you, and God wants to fill you. God wants to magnify Himself in your life. Come on, church, come on. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want somebody to receive it? God, pour out your Spirit, pour out your gift of all flesh that is gathered here this morning. Pour out of your gift, pour out of your Spirit.